This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District and NRCS hosted a cover crop meeting yesterday at Lincolnland Community College in Litchfield. I stopped by yesterday afternoon and had a chance to talk with Dick Lyons. Dick was one of the speakers for the meeting, and we discussed a couple topics he was presenting on. Dick, before we get started, remind us again where you're from and just a little history about yourself.
Well, I'm from rural Harville. I live about a mile west of Harville. I farm up in that area. I've been there for 44 years. During that same time frame, I was an instructor for 30 years at Lincolnland Community College and then 2 years at Illinois State University.
And today you're representing one of many roles that you have, but the Council on Best Management Practices, and you have been speaking on a couple of different topics, one of those being the nutrient loss reduction strategy. So just explain to us what you've been telling farmers here today and why this strategy is so important.
Well, the strategy is important for us in this country because it means clean water flowing down the Mississippi River into the Gulf of Mexico. Unfortunately, Illinois is the major contributor of all the 31 states in nitrates going down, as well as phosphorus. And so what we're doing today is talking about how cover crops are a major component of how we can reduce the amount of nitrates and phosphorus flowing down the river. And that's, we're here today is not only to teach, but to emphasize the importance of us doing the right thing for water quality.
This strategy has been talked about a lot lately over the last year, and I think it's going to be continued to be talked about. But one thing that this strategy can really help farmers do is to try to hold off regulations that could occur from this nitrogen loss. And is that something that you are explaining today as you're talking?
Yes, I have been. I spent the first full week in December. My wife and I went out to the Delmarva Peninsula to determine what was going on in and around the Chesapeake Bay. They have been under regulations since 2010. It was a voluntary program like ours has started out to be. But then when they didn't make progress, they were then regulated by the U.S. EPA through the local state EPAs. I don't want this to happen in Illinois. I want to promote farmers to do cover crops, get on top of their nitrogen management scheme. Not that they're not doing a good job of raising crops yield-wise, but we have to do a better job of controlling what's leaving the land. Use our nitrogen for the crop, keep it in the crop, not going down the Mississippi River.
Another benefit that you're going to touch on today as well, or you probably already have, is from cover crops you can have improved soil health. Explain to us some of those benefits or how they do that.
Well, the improvement in soil health, this is kind of the sequence that we're doing with the Council on Best Management Practices. The last 2 years we've been out promoting cover crops. This today here in Lincolnland, we had a morning session for beginners. This afternoon we're having an advanced cover crop session. The last program today as far as speakers will be myself, and we're going to be talking about improving soil health with cover crops. We are, and I say we, it's the Council on Best Management Practices, the Farmland Institute. There's about three or four alphabet soup organizations working together to put together a soil health training programs for next 2 years. We'll be talking about soil health and how we can improve that resilience in the soil health to handle adverse conditions and weather. Some of the things may be too much drought, too much rain, and not enough sunlight, whatever it takes to really degrade soils. We're going to be working on how we can improve those soils, especially with cover crops.
Anything that I haven't asked you already about cover crops or about the meeting today that you'd like to add, or maybe about Council on Best Management Practices?
Well, the Council of Best Management Practices, we have five representatives. We cover the entire state of Illinois. Here in the south central area, to the west is my counties. I have 22 counties. To the east is really what I consider one of the finest young agronomists in the area, and that's Chris Reynolds. Chris not only is the resource conservationist for Montgomery County, but he also covers 18 counties in the eastern part of central Illinois. And I think the important thing to realize is We've got a couple generations here working on this, and it's really working out well for the council. We have the most meetings, we have the best attendance, and I think we really complement each other.
Dick Lyons, farmer from Harville and cover crop specialist for the Council on Best Management Practices. A House Agriculture Subcommittee heard testimony on Tuesday on the benefits of building relationships with consumers through direct marketing. An increase in direct marketing by farmers and ranchers sparked this week's Subcommittee on Biotechnology, Horticulture, and Research hearing. Committee members held the hearing to examine opportunities and challenges farmers and ranchers face by direct marketing. Chaired by Illinois Representative Rodney Davis, the subcommittee found farmers and ranchers are able to have an open and honest dialogue with consumers about where their food comes from through direct marketing. USDA statistics show in 2012, more than 140,000 farms sold $1.3 billion worth of fresh agriculture products directly to consumers. Davis says the committee found through testimony that in direct dialogues, farmers are better able to build consumer trust and confidence in today's food systems. One of those testimonies was given by Andrew Heck of Springfield, Illinois. Andrew is a farmer and currently serves as a garden educator for the Generation Healthy Kids Coalition. Yesterday, the USDA announced additional actions to ensure U.S. agricultural research continues to be the world's gold standard. The president's fiscal year 2017 budget will invest a total of $700 million for the Agriculture and Food Research Initiative, which is the fully authorized funding level established by Congress in the 2008 Farm Bill. In the 7 years since the initiative was established, the program has led to true innovations and groundbreaking discoveries in agriculture to combat childhood obesity, improve and sustain rural economic growth, address water availability issues, increase food production, and several others. Through existing funding, $30.1 million in grants will be awarded to fund 80 projects at universities, research institutes, and laboratories across the nation. The grants address crucial issues facing agricultural producers, consumers, and researchers, such as food safety and quality, nutrients in plants, plant growth, and antimicrobial resistance strategies. That's all for your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Bowles.